So when we are looking at Industry 4.0, or in our case, Industry 4.now, because now is the time to implement and execute Industry 4.0 from our point of view, we see that we need a strong ecosystem and many different partners around it.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP, and welcome to this, the second edition of our Industry 4 on Fridays. And my two special guests on the show today are Alex and Niels. Alex, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thanks, Tom. So my name is Alex Altermann. I'm in the Strategic Partnerships, Industry 4.now and Digital Supply Chain Management team, working on multilateral, bilateral partnerships and the whole ecosystem of Industry 4.now.
Okay, superb. And Niels, we know you've been on the podcast before, but for people who might have missed some of your previous episodes, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'll do that. Tom, first of all, thank you for having me. My name is Niels Herzberg, and I lead the Strategic Partnership Organization for Digital Supply Chain and for Industry 4.now.
Okay, Alex, great. You mentioned, Alex, bilateral and multilateral partnerships. I mean, we can guess from the name what bilateral partnerships are, but could you explain multilateral partnerships?
Yes, sure, Tom. So when we are talking about multilateral partnerships, that is a partnership with many different partners together for us. So when we are looking at Industry 4.0, or in our case, Industry 4.now, because now is the time to implement and execute Industry 4.0 from our point of view, we see that we need a strong ecosystem and many different partners around it. So we have machine makers, we have system integrators, we have startups, we have many different partners we need to build up Industry 4.0 at a production or at a customer site overall. And for multilateral partnerships, we try to create complement offerings together with those partners. So in terms to have a skill set together to implement Industry 4.0 for our customers with those different partners in that partnership. So what we can't do on our own. So with the goal in the end for our customers to have a better ROI, or at least a total cost of implementation that is really going down for our customers by working together with those many different partners in that ecosystem, but all speaking the same language, like standards that we define together for us. And yeah, in those multilateral partnerships, we try to have those coexisting, cooperating ideas speaking all the same language for Industry 4.0.
Okay. And I mean, Niels, we had a little bit of a discussion about this the last week, but could you tell us a little bit about the kinds of organizations we're talking about in these multilateral partnerships?
Yes, absolutely. And I think there are some situations where if we are trying to achieve interoperability, compatibility, common security frameworks, you can only do that with everybody at the table. And that's where the bilateral thing just doesn't work. So let me give you a bit of an overview of some of the organizations where SAP is engaged at this time, relevant to Industry 4.now. On the one hand, there is obviously the Open Industry 4.0 Alliance, which is a group of about 80 companies working together on the interoperability for Industry 4.0, mostly focused on the edge, the operator cloud, but it also has the element of the asset administration shell in it. The second one where we are very much engaged is the Industrial Digital Twin Association. They are more or less a standards, but also an execution element of their focus on the bright new thing, the thing that actually is the difference between the stupid Internet of Things and the smart Internet of Things. The difference is the digital twin is the asset administration shell. So that is where another group of several tens of companies are coming together to make sure that that gets implemented. Thirdly, the open manufacturing platform, a collaboration on open source solutions relevant to the industrial space, to the factory space. The International Data Space Association, I'm not going to talk about that a lot because I think we've got another podcast scheduled, number three or number four, that talks about SAP's engagement in the standards bodies. But here, there's one that relates to data sovereignty. How do you deal with that in a B2B context? And then the newest kid on the block, it is the Catena X automotive network, where it is very much about the exchange of data, be it quality data, be it supply chain data, be it sustainability data, be it also the exchange of digital twins across enterprise boundaries, specifically focused on the automotive industry, be it from the tier N supplier through the tier one supplier through the OEM through to the customer right through to the company that is going to take the car apart after its useful life. So very much cross enterprise focus. So a lot of multilateral engagements where SAP is, some of those we incubated, like the Open Industry 4.0 Alliance. In others, we joined, like the Open Manufacturing Platform, and others we are creating together with our customers, with our partners, something like the Catena X Automotive Network. Does that answer your question, Tom?
It does. Thank you, Niels. Very good. And it strikes me, I mean, this whole Industry 4.0 thing is taking time to get off the ground, but, you know, to Alex's point, now is the time. One of the reasons it is taking so long to get off the ground, I think, is because of the kind of complexity that both of you have alluded to, the amount of stakeholders who are involved, the need to come together to kind of form a common language. Is that a fair comment, Alex?
Yes, sure, it is. So if you are looking at what Industry 4.0 means, so it's in the market for over 10 years now. So we know that in Germany, the government set up that strategy of Industry 4.0 to digitize the productions to create more value out of our production sites, or we have at least around 30% of machine and equipment manufacturers in Germany to create more value out of what they are doing. But as we see, Industry 4.0 is not just the production. So on the one hand, it's also the whole digital supply chain working together over company boundaries. So that is one of the challenges we face here. And the other thing is when we are looking at the vertical scene, that it is not just the business processes we are looking at, but it's going down to the shop floor. And for that, we need different technologies that came up over the years or that were developing over the years. So it's beginning with IIoT that we have that is really connecting the different machines and assets together and bringing data up to the business processes to get everything together and gain value out of the data we have here. For that, also like artificial intelligence that just can be a value creator if you have the data you need from, for example, heterogeneous productions. So many things come together. We have different new technologies that we have. We have the business processes. And we have many different manufacturer and player in that case, like also the ones that are creating hardware for IoT and partners like that. So many different players coming together, many different technologies that enable Industry 4.0 and bringing everything together in an ecosystem that is complex and a challenge, but we are happy to face that challenge nowadays.
Okay. And
we'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor, lead the conversation. contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today, influence the future.
Niels, can you talk a little bit about the alliance types that we have, you know, the kind of standardization versus implementation types?
Yes, I can. But before I do, I maybe just want to build on what Alex has just said. I think the additional challenge that we are facing is that the reality in the factory, some of those machines are 30 years old. You know, they don't know how to spell IoT. They don't know how to spell smart. And hence, you know, there's a big retrofit requirement as there as it relates to this interoperability topic. And that, I think, adds an additional element of complexity there. Now, to your question about the different types of alliances, multilateral alliances that we have or that we know, I think it is more like the value chain that you are seeing. In the beginning, there's a whole crowd of people who have some kind of a great idea. You can actually put the original Industry 4.0, the platform Industry 4.0 crowd into that. By the way, happy birthday, platform Industry 4.0, 10 years old, you know, a month ago. So, you know, the Industrial Internet Consortium. So they have the idea, the demand. They say, well, something needs to happen now. Then, you know, from there, you have the folks who sort of say, okay, now let us specify what is required. Let us specify the language we should be speaking. They are basically, they're writing the dictionaries, they are writing the grammar of how things should be said and done. Then you have the underlying folks who then create the standards out of that. Then you have, you know, in some cases, folks who want to develop some software, some open source, so they code. And then last but not most certainly not least, you have these execution alliances like Catena X, like Open Industry 4.0 Alliance, like the Labs Network Industry 4.0, who basically start working when everybody else say that they are finished. They take existing standards and they implement them in products, in solutions, and make them work at the customer side. Because honestly, you know, a standard is only worth anything if it has been implemented and if it has been widely adopted. Mm-hmm. And that's, for that, you need to go through this whole value chain of idea to demand, then innovate, you standardize, you code, and then you make it market ready. That means global scale and reach. So you have organizations, multilateral organizations, in each of these value steps. Some of the ones that SAP has incubated are in that last category of market readiness, because we saw that that was a missing link. Nobody really, the group's not executing together to create, you know, a common way of doing things.
Okay, and just to follow up on that, Niels, have those standards been kind of beaten out and adopted widely? If I'm asking this, people who listen to this podcast will be aware that I have a big interest, for example, in electric vehicles. And, you know, we've known electric vehicles have been coming for 10, 15 years, and still we have multiple charging standards. You have CCS, you have CCS2, you have CHAdeMO, you know. The big car companies globally couldn't get it together to come up with and agree on a single standard. Is something similar happening in Industry 4.0, or have standards been agreed and are they implemented and adopted, or how is that all working out?
I think there are, at some levels of the stack, the technical standards are very much agreed and common. There's maybe one or two that are competing, but it is not a crowd. And as you, the newer the requirement is, the more organizations believe they need to be standard setting. And you know, some of them will win, some of them will not win. I don't know whether your parents invested into a Betamax video recorder way back when. No, mine did. You know, it was the wrong choice. There was nothing there. You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. And I think this is how it goes. But there are, I think, in many elements of the stack, also going up to OPC, I think there is a clear recognition of what the standards are and that should be used. Let's take the asset administration shell, and if you look at the Industrial Digital Twin Association, then that is the very clear attempt of to get to a broader adoption and a broader understanding of the value of what the asset administration shell and what the value of the digital twin actually could be or should be, and how to execute that by putting it into your product, be that hardware or be it software.
Okay, superb. And Alex, you mentioned that, you know, you're responsible for bilateral and multilateral partnerships. What's been our experience in bilateral and multilateral partnerships in SAP?
A great question, Tom. So when we are talking about bilateral partnerships, we are focusing on what could be a problem that we can solve for specific customers with one partner. So if we are talking about, let's say, a robot manufacturer we are working together with to see if they are mainly in the, for example, automotive industry, what can we offer together? So more a joint go-to-market, more to see how we can solve that specific problem for a specific industry or a specific set of partners. In multilateral partnerships, we are focusing on how we can bring all those people and different consortia and different standards together in a big crowd to at least have a common understanding of what the market needs with many different stakeholders there. So as you said, it is like having a standard for one problem facing. So with electric cars, there's no solution at the moment, or one common solution. Another example could be the USB, where different scenarios were set up, different standards were tested for the market, and now the market says USB is the right case, and everyone now uses it, and everyone is committed to that.
Even Apple is getting there.
So what we see is if you work together with many different stakeholders and get different point of views of those different partners in the market, so from a great heterogeneous ecosystem, you have the option to get the right view on the market and make a common, let's say, not one standard, but a set of how you can create Industry 4.0 for the market and get that ready for the market here all together with the different views and set the right guidelines to implement Industry 4.0 in the end. So I think both partnerships bring a value to SAP, and we are working with different partners in a bilateral way and in multilateral partnerships as well. So in the end, we see that both can bring value to implement Industry 4.0 or adopt Industry 4.0 for a specific customer set or even more in the market.
Okay, so a question to both of you then, maybe Niels go first. Where do we go from here? I mean, you know, we've brought the podcast now to where we are to date. What's the outlook for this?
You're asking for the outlook on multilateral and on bilateral partnerships?
Yeah, where are we going from here?
Okay, yeah. So I think we've laid the groundwork, but we haven't actually done the global scale and reach and what we've what we have incubated. If you look at some of these multilateral alliances, they are focused on a particular country or a particular region. However, if I look at the world, you know, the ecosystem in Japan is a different one than the ecosystem in Europe. So the one is that we have to actually establish the ecosystems for Japan, for China, for Europe, for Americas, and get the key players. The key ambition of the ecosystems that we have is obviously to make things more interoperable, more compatible, more plug and play, more plug and go. But there's no customer value that he can go and plug and go with a product that he can't buy in his country. So we have to make sure that we have a credible offering that creates value for our customers in his or her own country. So long story short, the regional build out of ecosystem, both in terms of bilateral as well as in terms of multilateral. We have to get to the US, we have to be stronger in Europe, and we have to look at China, and we have to look at Japan.
Okay, superb. Alex, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, just one more thing. I think it's really important that we begin to really do implementation. So we are talking about guidelines. We are talking about how we can work together. We need really the projects done. So we need the examples how Industry 4.0 is really adopting in the market so that we can create awareness for those different partnerships we are driving by a really existing example that we can show to everyone in the world.
Nice. Okay, folks, we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. Is there any question I have not asked that you wish I had, or is there any topics we've not covered off that you think it's important to kind of bring up and make people aware of?
Tom, I think you know me by now that I'm a lateral thinker. If I look at the evolution of the world, we've had standardization in telcos, we've had standardization in banking, we've had in many different areas of our life, we've had this topic. And I think we all, deep down in our heart, know that it makes a huge amount of sense to agree on the way we're going to work together, how we exchange data, how we exchange information. I would actually encourage every listener of this podcast to think on what a role he or she could play in this. If you are a buyer of equipment, think about the capabilities in terms of standards of that equipment that you're buying, because in Industry 4.0, some of that stuff is going to be there for another 30 years. So to buy another piece of stupid equipment is a sin that is going to be with you for the next 30 years. So look at your purchasing policies and make sure that your smart equipment is being bought that all speaks the same set of languages and subscribes to the same set of standards. If you are a software company like SAP, think about how you can make your software more interoperable, open interfaces as well, because there's no customer value to you're integrating stuff that is hard to integrate. It should be more plug and play. So I would encourage everybody to think about how they can contribute so that the promise of Industry 4.0 becomes even more alive than it is right now.
Okay, Alex, anything to add?
I think that was a great conclusion Niels already brought up. So nothing to add from my side here.
Okay, superb. Folks, if people want to know more about Niels or about Alex or about multilateral partnerships or any of the things we discussed in the podcast today, where would you have me direct them?
I think there's two places where I would direct you. Firstly, on sap.com, and Tom, I will provide you with a link. We have created an ecosystem page as part of the industry now. It's under digital experience, and that is where you can actually look at all the various areas of our ecosystem, the partners that we are engaging with, also some of the success stories. And if you're curious about Niels, then the best place to look on that is LinkedIn. You can find me there and you can connect with me over there.
Superb. And Alex?
Yeah, same here on LinkedIn. You can find me. Please connect. And if you need to know more about, for example, the Open Industry 4.0 Alliance we have talked about, I think we will have a podcast about that as well. But I will share the link with you, Tom, so that everyone can have a first look at this as well.
Superb. Alex, Niels, thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Tom, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tom.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.